Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
God is holy, isn't he? He is forever holy, holy forever, eternally past, holy, and eternally into the future, he will be holy. And we can sing that song, holy forever. Praise God, he is holy. Because without him being holy, there would be no need to send Jesus, right? Because God is holy and we as humans are not holy, we needed someone to be the mediator for us, as we have learned so often through the past several chapters of Hebrews. And we have seen that Jesus is the perfect Son of God, the Lamb without sin, the one with no mistake. Jesus is holy. And because of his holiness, we can be justified by faith. We can be made righteous as he is. And we can be in relationship with God as our Savior, as our Father, because we've been made holy like him because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. He is holy forever. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word with me, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. We're going to begin the chapter that is often commonly called the Hall of Faith, right? The Hall of Faith. And so we're going to begin in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to continue and ultimately answer the question, what is faith? What is it? What is faith? And so, let's begin by reading verses 1 and 2 here. And the author of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning and we just thank you for being such a holy God, Lord. Being a holy God that sent his Son, Jesus, to be a holy human, a holy being here on earth, Lord, to die on a cross so we can be saved, so we can have our sins removed and be in relationship with you as Father. God, today I just pray that you just help my voice to be clear. God, I pray that you help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion. God, I pray that you will just speak through me in a mighty way, Lord, that we're able to see and understand what faith is and see and understand the one who we should put our faith in. God, this morning we praise you for Jesus. We pray all that in his holy and precious name. Amen. Jesus had just instructed his disciples to get into a boat and head for the other side. He said, "Hey, get in the boat and make your way over to the other side while Jesus goes and dismisses the thousands of people he just broke bread for." Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men, not including women and children, so we know it's an extreme amount of number of people. Jesus is dismissing them, and the disciples, they're in this boat, and for several hours now, they've been taking a beating. The waves, the wind, it is just beating on their boat. rock in them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes to them walking on the sea. The disciples were terrified. I think all of us would be terrified if we saw a man walking on water, wouldn't we? We would all be saying, it's a ghost, just as they were saying, it's a ghost, because we've never seen a man walk on water, have we? It really just isn't possible unless you're Jesus. And with the conclusions, the disciples think Jesus that is a ghost. Jesus soon speaks and says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And hearing the voice of Jesus, suddenly the disciples' nerves and fears begin to calm. And Peter boldly says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. You know the story. You've probably heard this story so many times over your life. Jesus says, come. And so I just imagine Peter walking up to the side of the boat and taking one foot and swinging it over, and then taking the other foot, swinging it over, and just sitting there for a moment and going, maybe taking a deep breath and going, all right, I'm going to do this. And then he just steps down into the water and he stands there, right? And then he begins walking toward Jesus. But then something happened, right? Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He saw the wind. It doesn't say he saw the waves. He saw the wind. And as we can imagine, the waves were probably big, right? He sees the wind. And Peter begins losing faith and he begins to sink and he cries out, Lord, save me. And of course, Jesus reaches down, grabs Peter, pulls him up, and then takes him. And before they get to the boat, he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter learned a lesson that day, didn't he? I believe the disciples learned a lesson that day as well, and I think it's safe to say that even us today are still learning lessons from Peter walking on water only to lose faith and begin sinking. You see, the object of Peter's faith was entirely and completely on Jesus until he saw the wind. And he took his eyes off of Jesus, and the object of his faith was no longer in Jesus keeping him up on top of the water, and thus he began to sink. Now this is ultimately very similar to this early Hebrew church. Jesus had become the object of their faith. And they were walking by faith. And there was some of them who had begun to focus on the winds and waves of persecution and suffering, as we learned about last week and even previous weeks. And thus, because they took their focus off of Jesus, and because Jesus was no longer the object of their faith, they didn't continue enduring with faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that many of them were neglecting meeting together. And the idea is that Jesus had no longer become, or no longer was, the object of their faith. They lost the assurance of things hoped for. They lost their conviction of things not seen. Are you like that sometimes? Do you allow the winds and waves of persecution and sufferings, the winds and waves of tragedies, sad times, hard times in your life affect your faith you have in Jesus? Are you like Peter in that sometimes you take your eyes off of Jesus because you're looking in fear at the winds and waves of this world? Church, I want to encourage you today to keep your faith in Jesus. Don't let the things of this world take your eyes off of Jesus, because the things of this world, they cannot assure us of the things hoped for. We can only be assured of things hoped for. We can only have convictions of things not seen if our hope is in Jesus, if our faith is in Jesus, the one who ensures us, the one who convinces us. And this early Hebrew church, they needed to be taught exactly what faith was. What is faith? They needed to be shown by people who have demonstrated faith before. And thus we get chapter 11. So often this chapter gets singled out by itself, and we leave out chapter 10, and we leave out chapter 12. You think about the last couple of weeks in chapter 10, last week, Endure with Faith. The week before that, where he talks about, you know, what was it? Having full assurance of faith, persevering with faith. And then at some point before that, you know, don't go on sinning deliberately. Continue to have faith. And so you get to chapter 11 and it's like, you have to bring all that with you, don't you? You can't leave that behind. He just told them to endure with faith, to live by faith. And then he says, let me show you what faith is. Let me show you what faith looks like lived out. Let me show you people who have endured with faith. So if we leave out chapter 10, chapter 11 don't make as much sense. But when we include it, and then we read chapter 11, it makes even more sense. And then you go to chapter 12, after the author of Hebrews lists all these great people, and you get to chapter 12, and he says, Jesus is the founder and perfecter of faith. So if you just leave out of chapter 11, what do you miss? You miss Jesus. In chapter 12. So I say all that because it's really important for us to read the Bible as a whole, not just bits and pieces. It's why I enjoy so much preaching through a book of the Bible rather than picking pieces here and there, because we're able to see the full picture of God's Word laid out to us. So today in our sermon, we're going to see how the author teaches this early Hebrew church what faith is. And we have ultimately three answers to what faith is. And the first answer that we see is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. This first verse here in chapter 11 is often described as the definition for faith according to the Bible, right? If someone says, hey, what is faith? So often you'll hear a Christian, a believer say, chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And while that is absolutely correct, it is a definition that is given. But today we're going to fully explore that this definition really doesn't give us the full picture. Because what is our faith supposed to be in? What are the things we're hoping for? What are the things that are not seen yet? And so we're going to see a little bit more of that. So the reality is chapter 11, verse 1, is only a partial definition. So to begin, let's look at verse 1 again. Just this first part. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's two kind of words or phrases that I just want to focus here. And the first one is assurance, and the second one is things hoped for. But what does it mean by assurance? What does it mean when it says, assurance here. Now, faith is the assurance. What does that mean? Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, it defines assured as characterized by certainty or security. So there is an amount of certainty. There is an amount of security there. It also says that being assured is being very confident. So when you are assured of something, you are extremely confident in what it is. But then he goes on in Merriam-Webster and says, sure that something is certain or true. Assure that something is certain or true. You think of some synonyms, could be like certain, clear, confident, positive, doubtless. All those words, they very similarly align with the word assurance, don't they? If you are not assured, you're not positive. If you are not assured, you're not clear. If you're not assured, you're not confident. You have doubt, right? And here in our passage, we are told that faith is the assurance. It is the certainty. It is being entirely convinced, entirely certain, having full confidence of what you are certain for, or certain in, or certain of. Not a single ounce of doubt is there. Paul in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, he actually gives us another short definition of faith. And I think this will help us out a little in understanding what being fully assured means. And so he begins in chapter 4, verse 20, and he says, no unbelief made him waver. And in this chapter here, he's talking about Abraham and how Abraham had faith. And we'll actually talk about this a little bit more in coming weeks. But he says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. And he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, because he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So we could say that faith is being fully convinced that God is going to do what he has promised. Assurance is being fully convinced. Assurance is being wholly, entirely, completely, 100% convinced that God is going to do what he has promised. It's not just a little bit convinced. It's not even a lot convinced. Because you can be convinced about something a lot, but not be convinced about it entirely, right? If you're 99% convinced about something, that means you're not completely convinced about it, correct? What Paul is saying here is 100% full convincing, full assurance that God is able to do what he has promised. And these promises that are hoped for, these things that are hoped for here, what does these things hoped for mean? And so it ultimately begins to mean that that which is hoped for or expected, your assurance rests in that. You are fully assured or of the expected or hoped for thing. Last night, whenever I went to sleep, I set my alarm clock to go off at 6 a.m. Okay? I know some of you men are like, he gets up that early? I never knew that. Because I always show up about 5 to 10 minutes late on Tuesday mornings. All right? Now, I get that. But last night I set my alarm clock at 6 a.m. And when I went to sleep, I was fully assured that my alarm clock was going to go off at 6 a.m. And guess what happened this morning? My alarm clock went off at 6 a.m. And my wife is fully assured every morning that I'm going to hit that snooze button, because 7 more minutes of sleep is glorious, right? It's the best thing in the world when you get 7 more minutes of sleep. So you hit the snooze button, and I'm sure she's also fully assured that I'm going to hit it again and again and again until the very last moment that I'm like, I got to get up and I got to go. Because at that point, I'm fully assured I'm going to be late if I don't get on it. You see where I'm going with this? Fully assured. Fully assured that my alarm clock was going to go off. Because it does it every morning. As Christians, we have a hope. We have an expectation. And that hope and expectation is that when we die, we will not be condemned to the wrath of God. But we will rather be fully present with God, and eventually, when Christ returns, enjoy the new heaven and the new earth. That is the things hoped for. And we can be fully assured of that. Truly, 100% convinced that one day when Christ returns, we're going home. Think of it a different way. Every single one of you, when you got here this morning, you all walked in, right? You walked over to where you're sitting right now. You sat down. How many of you took a peep and said, "Hey, I'm going to check those legs out down there. I'm going to make sure they're in good condition, make sure they're sturdy." I should have took the legs out from one of y'all's pews today. Just to give y'all a wake-up call to what faith is. I'm kidding. Maybe I shouldn't have did that. But just imagine, like, every single one of you, when you sat down, none of you, right? Not a single one of you looked at the pew legs and said, "That one's not looking pretty good. I'm not going to sit on that pew today." You didn't walk over to your pew and give it a good little push and shake it a little bit to make sure it was going to hold you up, did you? No, because you were fully assured in the expectation that pew was going to hold you up when you sat down. Same thing could be said about your car this morning. Maybe it's not all people, but most people, when you got in your car this morning, you didn't check the tires to make sure they were aired up. You were just assured, right? You were confident that they were aired up and ready to go. You didn't crank the car going, please, dear Lord, let this car crank one more time. You didn't do that. Some of you may have, but if you didn't, praise God, right? But you were fully assured that your car was going to crank. You were fully assured there wasn't going to be a flat tire when you got in your vehicle. Because there's an expectation and a hope that your car is going to crank. There's not going to be a flat tire. And even when you hit the snooze button 15 times, you're going to be able to get to your destination. That is faith. You have faith in the pew, faith in your car. But let's transfer that over to Jesus a little bit. Jesus. Faith. Biblical faith is being fully convinced, fully assured in the hope of what Jesus has done for us. Being fully assured, fully convinced that when He died on the cross of Calvary, all of our sins were washed away. When He died on the cross of Calvary, our salvation, when we believe in Him and put our faith in Him, is there for us. Being fully convinced, fully assured, means that we know that when Jesus returns, He's taking us home. There's not an ounce of doubt. Biblical faith is faith in the saving work of Jesus, and fully assured in the expectation and hope that when He returns, He's going to take us home. And so this leads us to our second answer to what is faith. We see that faith is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. So we read this in the last part of verse 1. I think I'll put it back up there for you. No, I don't have it there. There we go. That works. So we read this in the last part of verse 1. And I just want to bring your attention to the word conviction and to the phrase of things not seen. The word conviction here can also be translated as proof, You have full proof of something. You have evidence or convinced. All of these things would ultimately do one thing for you, right? If you had proof, you had evidence, and you were convinced about something, you're going to be convicted, right? You're going to have a conviction about you of that thing. So to kind of help you better understand this, imagine a court case. There's a judge, there's a lawyer here and a lawyer here, there's a defendant, there's a plaintiff, and there's a jury, right? And what is the defendant? Maybe I think it's right. No, the plaintiff, I think I make sure I get this right here. The plaintiff is trying to prove to the jury and to the judge that the defendant is wrong, or that the defendant has committed a crime, that the defendant is convicted of something, right? And so to do that, the lawyers are going to give proof, they're going to give evidence, they're going to try to be convincing and convince the jury. The jury ultimately has to be convicted of the conviction before they can convict. Does that make sense? I know I said conviction there like three times. But if you're not convicted of something, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to see it as true. You're not going to think that that person needs to be convicted of the problem or of the crime. There has to be a sense of conviction. Conviction is proof. Conviction is evidence. Conviction is convinced. So let me give you another example. If I take my Bible here, I'll hold it up, okay? You are all convicted right now that my Bible exists, right? It's here. You can see it. But now, I'll move it down here. How many of you still believe that my Bible exists? Show of hands. Yep, every one of you, right? Why? Because you have proof that I just did this. You have evidence that I just did this. You have convincing that I just did this, right? You'd all believe it. You had proof. But as we move on to the second thing, the phrase, things not seen, what if I told you that I have a second Bible down here? How many of you believe I have a second Bible down here? Oh, it changed fast, didn't it? Why? Because you don't have proof. You don't have evidence. You don't have conviction that there is a second Bible down here. Man, I wish I had a second Bible right now. Faith. True faith. Is the conviction that even when you don't see it, you still believe it. You're still convicted of it. You're still convinced of it. You're still fully assured that it's there. I have never seen a blue whale. Anybody here ever seen a blue whale? I've never seen a blue whale. But let me tell you, I'm convinced that they're real. I have never been to Australia or seen Australia. But you know what? I have faith that's there. I've never seen my heart. I've never seen my brain. I've never seen my bones. But you know what? I have faith that they are there. But it's not just physical things. It's also past and future things. I'm convinced that George Washington was the first president of the United States, just as many of you are, right? I am convinced that tomorrow at 6 a.m., my alarm clock is going to happen and go off again, even though it hasn't happened yet. See where I'm going with this? Faith is the conviction of things not seen, whether they are objects, whether they're in the past, or whether they're in the future. Faith is conviction that even though we haven't seen Jesus literally, we know that He is real. We know that He is the Son of God. We know that He was born of a virgin. We know that He lived a life of sinlessness without mistake. It is faith in believing and knowing that He died on the cross between two criminals. It's believing that He was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, He was raised from the dead. And that's really hard to believe sometimes, ain't it? But without faith, you never would believe it. Without having conviction of things not seen, you wouldn't really believe it, would you? But that is exactly what faith is. It's being convicted of things not seen. We have all the evidence. We have all the proof. We have all the conviction that we need. And you know where it all comes from? His word right here. Faith is the conviction that God is going to hold His promise to save His people from His wrath on the last day when Christ returns, even though we haven't seen it happen yet. And so you think about the song earlier, "Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery." And we're going to, in the next few weeks, see all of these people in chapter 11 and how they had faith. And their faith was always that God was going to do what He promised. Their faith was always that God's going to do what they haven't seen done yet. Think of Abraham being told at 100 years old, Sarah being told at whatever age she was that she's going to have a child. That Abraham's going to be the father of many nations. Not expected. Probably never happened before that. And guess what? They had faith. God gave them a child named Isaac. And then we'll see Abraham take that child up to be sacrificed. Excuse me. And as Isaac has the knife and he's about to sacrifice his son Isaac, God stops him. And we see here in Hebrews that Abraham was fully convinced. Abraham had full faith that even if he sacrificed his son, God was going to bring him back to life. Faith is the conviction of things not yet seen. The conviction that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. So this leads us to our final answer to what faith is. Because faith is ultimately how people receive their commendation. I'm going to read verse 2 again. Verse 2 says, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." Commendation. I can't say that word very well today. The people received their commendation. This word, commendation, can be translated with another word. And some of you read it in your translations. And the word is approval. "For the people of old received their approval." Or the people of old were approved. And this word approval, think about it. Commendation means approval. Being approved or being awarded something, right? And so when I think about being given an award for doing something great or something they were being commended for, I think of firefighters, police that do heroic acts sometimes, and the city awards them for what they have done, commends them for what they did. I think of like graduation at high school. When all these kids are graduating, walking across the stage, they're being given an award. They're being given the stamp of approval that you have graduated. They have been commended. But in both of those circumstances, something had to be done. Work had to be done. The hero had to work at saving somebody. The student had to work at having good grades in order to graduate. But here in our passage, we see that it was by faith that the people of old received their commendation. These people of old, whom we'll talk about here in just a moment, they, by faith, lived in obedience to God, and thus they were commended. These people, or let me just say this, to take the word commended here, just a little bit of a step farther, because ultimately, right here, it means that these people of old received divine approval. Another way to say that is they were saved. Right? They had faith. So they were saved. They simply had faith. Faith in who God was. Faith that God was going to do what He promised. But even more than that, they had faith in the Messiah, Jesus. Even though they had not seen Jesus. But they knew He was coming. And they knew He was going to save the world. At least all those who would believe in Him. So we go back to the phrase of the people of old. These people of old, they are all the faithful ones of the Old Testament that we see listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and even the prophets. The author of Hebrews says they were faithful and they received their commendation. Every single one of those stories are all illustrations of how people placed their faith in God and His promises. They were approved. They were saved. How were they saved? It was by faith. The one common thing that runs throughout this whole chapter is the two-word phrase, by faith. By faith. It wasn't what they did. It was their faith they had. So we will say that even today, it is by faith that we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By faith, we are saved. Salvation is not something that we do on our own. It's not something we can earn. Excuse me. It's not something we can work for. Salvation is simply a gift from God because we, by faith, placed our trust in Jesus. We read last week Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, and it's such a good verse, so we're going to read it again. Therefore, since we have been justified, what does it say? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues, through Him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are saved by faith, and we are also justified by faith. We as humans, we are sinful, wretched beings, and God is a holy God, and that doesn't mesh very well. That doesn't blend very well. That doesn't go together. It can't mesh at all. Because God is holy and we are not. But we can be made holy. We can be made righteous. And that all comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who justifies us. Because when we believe in Him, we, by faith, are justified. All our sins removed, and the wrath of God is no longer upon us, and it goes on to Jesus. Church, we are saved by faith alone. And so I have to ask you today, are you saved by faith alone this morning? Have you fully placed your faith in Jesus alone? Entirely Him alone? Or are you adding a little bit of something to it? Are you trying to do a little extra something, extra work, in order to gain God's approval, to gain God's favor? There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we as sinful human beings can do to gain God's favor. If you continue going in Hebrews chapter 11, where is it at? Verse 6, he says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." It is impossible for any human being in this world to please God without faith. By faith alone can we please God. So this morning, if you have never placed your full faith, you're still trying to do extra things, you're still trying to do a little this, a little that, in order to gain God's favor, this morning I just want to encourage you to rid yourself of all those things and just say, God, I am placing my full, complete faith in You this morning. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to place your faith in Jesus and Him alone, and He will save you. He will save you. In our sermon today, as we come to the end here, we've seen three answers to the question, what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It means that we are fully assured of the hope we have in Christ, fully confident in the things Christ did for us, and for the hope of eternal life we have coming for us in the future. Faith is the conviction of things not yet seen. It means that we are fully convinced, fully convicted that those things are going to happen even though we haven't seen them. Full conviction in Jesus, who He is and what He has done. Full conviction that salvation will be culminated in the new heaven and the new earth. And lastly, faith is how people receive their commendation. Faith is how people are saved. It is by faith alone that we can be saved. By faith alone that we are justified. Our faith, to go back to the story of Peter, is an object. And our faith, that object, is Jesus. May you never, ever take your eyes, take your faith off of Jesus and put it on something else. Always, always put your faith in Jesus. There are many things that people do not like about Christianity, isn't there? There's so many things that people don't like about this Bible, don't like about Christians, but there is one thing, one word that people love to use. That word is what? Faith. You often hear people say, oh, if you have a little bit of faith, it'll happen. If you have a little bit of faith, you can do this. Have a little faith in yourself and positive things in your life is going to happen. But that can't be any farther from the truth. We should never be putting faith in ourselves to get us somewhere. We should always be putting our faith, our complete faith, in Jesus Christ. We live in a very self-world, self-obsessed world. I like to call it a do-it-yourself world, right? Because it's what we see all the time on commercials. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. It's a do-it-yourself world. Why? If you put a little faith in yourself, you can do it. But the reality is, we can't do it. But He can. So always, always put your faith in Jesus Christ. Not in the things of this world, not in the people of this world. Because sadly, all those things are going to pass away. But there's one who never passes away. His name is Jesus. And He's the eternal Son of God. Let your faith rest in Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank You for Jesus. Thank You so much for sending Him to be our faith. God, I pray that when the rough waves, the rough winds of this world, when they come, that we aren't distracted by those, Lord, but our faith is still focused solemnly on You and You alone. God, help us to live by faith every single day of our lives. Yes, Lord, we at one time we place our full faith in You, but God, I pray every single day we wake up and we continue living by faith every single day of our lives. Enduring with faith, persevering with faith. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.